turn to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. I'd like to read the first five verses. It's a psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Again, this is a psalm of David, and he begins and he ends the psalm in the same way. If you go down to verse 22, you'll see the same ending as the beginning. That is, bless the Lord, O my soul. He says that in verse 1. He repeats it exactly in verse 2. Repeats it again in verse 22. The phrase, O my soul, occurs 14 times in the Word of God. And it is indicative of someone talking to themselves, someone reasoning with their own heart. As you listen in, as some talk to themselves, in Genesis 49 and verse 6, Jacob spoke concerning Simeon and Levi, who had committed gruesome things in their lifetime. And he said, oh my soul, he's talking to himself, oh my soul, come not into their secret, into their assembly. Be not thou united. He's telling himself, avoid sin. In Judges 5, verse 21, we see Deborah talking to her herself, saying, O my soul, thou hast trodden down strength. She is telling herself that God has given her victories. In Psalm 42, verse 5 and verse 11, the psalmist is discouraged, and he talks to himself. In Psalm 42 and 5 and verse 11, he says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted? Or that, why are you uneasy? Why do you worry? Why are you anxious in me? And then he tells himself what to do. Hope thou in God. Again, they're talking to themselves. In Psalm 116 and verse 7, the psalmist, talking to himself, says, return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. So again, we take note here in Psalm 103, O my soul. Again, they are key indicators that David is talking to himself. This is something that we all do. We talk to ourselves. Sometimes we may do that verbally. The most common way, of course, is internally, by our thoughts. We talk to ourselves. And whether internally or verbally, our words manifest our perception and our interpretation of things. And our words can alter our perception. Our words to ourselves can alter our interpretation of things. Our words to ourselves indicate our emphasis Again, we talk to ourselves verbally. We talk to ourselves more commonly, internally, by our thoughts. But we all talk to ourselves. And it manifests where our focus is, what we say to ourselves. Our words to ourselves, whether verbally or internally, are very, very significant. They impact our life very much. They even have an impact upon our circumstances. Talking to ourselves, we can contaminate ourselves. We can infect ourselves. We can bring poison into our lives. We can also do just the opposite. We can bring much health to our lives. We can bring much benefit into our lives. We can bring rejuvenation to our lives by simply talking to ourselves. But throughout the psalm, this 103rd psalm, verses 1 through 19, David is talking to himself. He's not praying. He's simply talking to himself. In verses 20 through 22, he issues a call to all of creation to praise the Lord. And then he closes verse 22, again, talking to himself, telling himself to praise the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So we all talk to ourselves. You don't have to be crazy to talk to yourself. We all talk to ourselves, and how we do so is of great consequence to our spiritual well-being and shapes our lives. So we're going to speak this evening on how to talk to ourselves. How to talk to yourself. First of all, notice what David tells himself. Again, he says three times, verse 1, verse 2, verse 22. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And in verse 1, he says basically the same thing when he says, all that is within me, bless his holy name. So in these words, David is telling himself, he is issuing himself a command to do something specific. Bless the Lord. He is commanding himself to bless the Lord, to praise the Lord. The word bless in the Bible simply means to bow to God. To bow to God in praise, to bow to God in worship, to glorify, to magnify, to honor, to exalt, to give homage to and reverence to God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Again, he's talking to himself. Notice Psalm 104 in verse 1. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Telling himself the same thing. We see in verse 35 of Psalm 104. He ends that verse with, bless thou the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord. Psalm 146 and verse 1, he says the same thing. He's telling himself to praise God. We were all created to praise God. And we are all called to praise God. We see this in Psalm 147, verse 1. Psalm 148, verses 1 through 5. Psalm 149, Psalm 150. Those are psalms all about praise. We are created to praise God. We are called to praise God. And in our text, David is commanding himself, telling himself to praise God. By that, he is telling himself to take his proper place before God. We need to tell ourselves that. Dan, take your proper place before God. We need to talk to ourselves, whether it be verbally or internally. He is telling himself to give God his proper place in his life. David is insisting that in his inner man he do something in regards to God, that being to praise the Lord. He's insisting that his soul be rightly employed. Bless the Lord, O my soul. It's very important that our soul be rightly employed. Praise is an expression of enjoyment. Praise is an expression of admiration. And David is insisting to himself that he rightly express and manifest his joy and admiration for the Lord. He says to himself, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." From those words, we see that what he says to himself is full of emotion. That's indicated by that little word, "oh." Oh. What he's saying is something that he feels very intensely. "Bless the Lord, O my soul." He is seeking to stir up his innermost being, telling himself to praise God. And he says, "O my soul, and all that is within me, all that is within me, bless his holy name." These are the words of someone who knows that God is worthy of praise and honor. He says, "All that is within me, bless his holy name." These are the words of someone who is convinced that God is holy. That is, that God is set apart from all others. He's firmly persuaded that God, there's no one like God. God is set apart from all others in his goodness, his love, his grace, his mercy, his authority, his sovereignty. And therefore, with great emotion, he's telling himself to praise and to worship and glorify and to magnify and to honor and to exalt and to reverence God in the totality of his being, with every fiber of his being. Why? Because he knows that God is worthy of such. We need to talk to ourselves about what we know concerning God. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." David here was not interested in half-hearted praise or worship. He was not interested in mere formalities. But he desired to praise God and worship God and glorify God, reverence God with his entire being. And he's telling himself that. And here we are in a world that is far removed from God, surrounded by those who disregard and reject the Lord, curses and blasphemies are all around us. All around us are people who shake their fist at God. And oh, how we need to be a people that have enough conviction and have enough persuasion of God to say to ourselves throughout the day, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name." We need to rise up from our idle thoughts. Need to rise up from our frets and our fears. and our assumptions and our mere formalities and say, soul, let's praise God. Let's worship. Let's glorify and magnify God. When you're around people, and sometimes it can't be helped, that curse, that do not know the Lord, and do not give any thought to God, that's a good time to say to yourself, bless the Lord, O my soul. Soul, praise God. We need to talk to ourselves. Secondly, we want to see what, and this will be the remainder of the message, what David tells himself. In order to accomplish his intent is to praise God. His intent is for his soul to bless God. That ought to be our intent. Our intent ought to be to praise God, to glorify God. How do we do that? How do we accomplish our intent? Well, talking to himself, he says in verse 2, and forget not all his benefits. All his benefits refer to the overall blessings of God upon our lives. He knows of himself, as is true of all of us, that he was very prone to forget. And he was very prone to recall to memory the blessings of God upon his life. He was very prone to stop thinking about the blessings of God upon his life. So what does he do? Because if you stop thinking about those things, guess what else you stop doing? Praising God. So knowing that he is prone to forget, he tells himself, forget not. Forget not his benefits. He says, Saul, don't forget the blessings of God. We need to talk to ourselves every day and say the same thing. Don't forget. Remember the blessings of God. The word benefits, of course, coming from God to us, has reference to the goodness of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, the love of God bestowed upon us. So after telling himself to praise God, he knew that the only way that he could do that was to remember God's working in his life. We need to constantly be telling ourselves to remember the blessings of God. When we get caught up at work or whatever we're doing, say to yourself, remember the blessings of God. Don't get so caught up that you forget. So we have to constantly tell ourselves. He knew that it would be meditating upon God's workings in his life that would result in praise. So he's telling himself, forget not. The way not to forget is to meditate upon it. Just keep thinking about it. Keep saying it to yourself over and over and over again. And the result would be that God, by remembering God's blessings upon our lives, the result is always overflowing gratitude, resulting in praise. And then he continues to talk to himself concerning God's workings in his life. He talks to himself about forgiven sin. He says in verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities? He's talking to himself. He's saying to himself, God has forgiven me. God has forgiven me. He is saying, soul, God has forgiven you. Soul, you are forgiven. And notice, it is God who forgives. Who forgiveth? God is the one who forgives. It speaks of the fact that God has done something. God has done something with regard to my sins. God has done something in regard to your sins. What has He done? He's forgiven. That is, He's taken our sins and He's lifted them off from us. He's cleansed them. He's removed them. So much so that they are no longer in His sight. And they are no longer placed to our account. So David is telling himself, God has forgiven me. You tell yourself that. You remind yourself, God has forgiven me. And the result is, praise the Lord. The result is we worship, and we magnify, and we honor God. He is reminding himself of miraculous, amazing, life-changing event. He has forgiven my iniquities. He is saying to himself, David, God has forgiven you in spite of the vileness and the offensiveness and the repulsiveness of your sins. God has forgiven you. He's telling himself this. Talking to himself. And as you talk to yourself about forgiven sin, you begin to feel overflowing within you a gratitude. And that gratitude just continues to fill, and pretty soon it just has to burst forth with praise and worship. Remember how he started the conversation, bless the Lord, O my soul. And what leads to this praise is rightfully talking to ourselves or talking to ourselves about the right things. Secondly, he talks to himself of God as his physician. Last part of verse 3, again you have that word who. That means God's the one doing it. Who healeth all thy diseases. He's talking to his soul, remember that. When he says thy, he's talking to his soul. Who healeth all thy diseases. He is saying, Saul, God has healed you. But it says more than that. It doesn't say who healed all thy diseases. Who healeth. He is saying, God, he is saying, Saul, God has forgiven you and continues to forgive you and continues to heal you. Notice again, it is God who heals. In other words, God has not only done something with regards to our sin, He has done something in regard to our diseases. Who healeth all thy diseases, plural. It's the plural. Refers to sickness, physical and spiritually. Refers to infections, physical and spiritual. There are spiritual infections. It refers to ailments, disorders, physically and spiritually. There are many spiritual disorders, just as there are physical disorders. afflictions, infirmities, disabilities, fall under the heading of diseases, defects. We're filled with defects. We're filled with them. And God heals them. Plagues. These diseases are innumerable. And God is the one who can restore. He's the one who can mend. He's the one who can relieve and alleviate and repair and resolve and correct all disease, whether physical or spiritual. We pray all the time for people concerning their physical illness. Nothing wrong with that, but I believe we'd be better off praying for people's spiritual illnesses and praying for own spiritual illnesses, own spiritual diseases. So he's talking to himself. He's saying, soul, God has healed you. And he continues to do so. Now you tell yourself that, and you know that to be true. Soon you begin to overflow again with gratitude, and you can't help it. It bursts forth in praise and worship. You see, when we come to church, I mean, we need to talk to ourselves about the right things all day long. Before we walk in that door, we need to be talking to ourselves about the right things. And worship is greatly enhanced when we just have a talk with ourselves about the goodness of God in our lives. He also talks to himself of God's rescues. He says in verse 4, who, again, God is the doer of the act, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. He is saying, soul, God has rescued you. Again, it is God that redeems. He has done something in regard to our sin. He has done something in regard to our diseases. And now we see he has done something in regard to destruction, which means demolition and ruin. And notice it's personal. Again, he's talking to himself, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. He has redeemed our very life from destruction. So David, talking to himself, says, Saul, God has made restitution for your life. And God has rescued and retrieved your life. Now for you and I that are saved, that is true. The day that he saved our hell-deserving soul, he redeemed our life. But that's also been true all through our lives. That was true before I was even saved. God rescued me time and time and time again, and you too. I was very, very, very angry teenager. And I look back, and there were many times that I would have done what would have ruined my life. But God rescued me. I didn't know it at the time, but I do now. He rescued me time and time and time again. And he still does. He rescues us every day from the destruction of the enemy. Satan desires to sift us as wheat, desires to devour. And the only reason he hasn't is because God rescues us. And how many times God has rescued me and I know he has you too, from self-destruction. Many times we've thought in our mind, you know, I ought to just do such and such. God rescues us from that. Many times that I would have destroyed one of the Lord's churches, but God rescued me from it. Many times I would have destroyed my life. Many times I would have destroyed my family's life. But God rescued me from it. And David realized that. And David just feels that, you know, that's a good thing to talk about to myself. How God has rescued my life. You see somebody whose life is in ruins, that's a good time to pray for them. It's a good time to bless the Lord for your own soul. It's also a good time to just talk to yourself about how God has rescued you from the same destruction and ruin that individual's faced with. He also talks to himself of God's surrounding compassion. He says in verse 4, who again? Again, God's the doer. He's talking to himself, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The word crowneth conveys the idea here of encircling, surrounding. So David is telling himself, Saul, you don't have to say Saul, you can just call yourself by name. Dan, God has surrounded you. He's surrounded your whole life with His love. You know, I've never been able to get beyond God's love. There isn't anywhere I can go where His love isn't there. Nowhere. It encircles me everywhere I go. His kindness, His mercy. That's why David said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. It's basically what he's saying here. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Again, note that it is God who does this. Throughout our entire lives, through all the joys, and there have been many, through all the heartaches, through all the convenient and inconvenient times, through the smooth times and through the rough times, through the highs and through the lows, through the dark and through the stormy days and through the calm days and through the turmoil and through the peaceful times, through the times of conflict and through the times of strength and through the times of weakness, through the times of health and through the times of sickness, and through the times when we were filled with assurance and through the times when we were filled with doubt, through the times when we obeyed God and through the times when we didn't obey God, I've been encircled by God's love, God's kindness and mercy. And that's just a good thing to talk to yourself about. And again, when you do, when you talk to yourself about that, you overflow with gratitude, which turns into praise and worship. He also talks to himself of God's provision. Verse 5, who satisfieth? There it is again, who? Who satisfieth thy mouth? Again, he's talking to himself. Bless the Lord, O my soul. who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. The word satisfieth means to fulfill. Notice again, it's God who does this. There is a satisfaction that only God can give. And you and I that are saved can enjoy that satisfaction every day of our lives. It's a satisfaction only He can give. You can't find it anywhere else. Only He can give it. Notice the result of this provision. So that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. There isn't any one of us here tonight that does not stand in need of renewal all the time. And we talk to ourselves and we talk to ourselves about God's provision. You think about God's provision throughout your life. And you can talk to yourself all day. All the ways that God has provided. I think upon God's provision throughout Sharon and I's life, and it just amazes me. It's amazing. It's a matter of great praise. I've seen and I've been the beneficiary of the miraculous. God's provision, and I'm sure you have too. So that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. What does the eagle do? The eagle soars. The eagle ascends to greater heights. And if we talk to ourselves about the right things, we will feel our soul soaring and ascending to greater heights spiritually. And what does that do? That enables us to praise Him. That enables us to worship Him. All the potential and the possibilities that God gives us to soar like the eagles. Talk to yourself about God's marvelous, miraculous, and enabling provision. How many times God has provided us strength when we had none? Many times we think of God's provision, we just limit it to the material. There's much more to it than that. How many times God has provided us with wisdom, with the right words to say? I mean, you could think of, it's innumerable the ways that God provides for us. We need to talk to ourselves about that. We need to talk to ourselves about God's provision. Recognize God's provision in our lives. It's sad, but many times we don't recognize God's provision. God provides every day. Everything we have is God's provision. The ability to work, it's all God's provision. If you're able to get out of bed tomorrow, that's God's provision. If you're able to walk through the day, that's God's provision. If you're able to go through a day in a right mind, that's God's provision. So we're blessed every day. He daily loadeth us with benefits. Loadeth us. And oh, how much better off we would be if we felt loaded down with God's benefits rather than loaded down with the trials of this life. It all depends on what you're looking at. Yeah, you can get loaded down with the trials of this life. There are a lot of trials. But my Bible tells me that He daily loadeth us with benefits. So that tells me it all depends what you're looking at. It all depends what you're concentrating on. You concentrate on all the trials, you won't be in a condition to praise God. You won't be in a condition to worship God. But you concentrate on the blessings of God, the provisions of God, and we're able to worship. And again, if we talk to ourselves about God's provision, gratitude begins to fill our soul. You know, all the way to church, gratitude ought to be filling our souls. And then as you get closer in your car to the building, gratitude ought to be filling your soul. I get to go to the house of God. And we need to talk to ourselves all the way to church. We need to talk to ourselves all through the day, whether it's a church day or not. We need to talk to ourselves about God. And you do that, and if that doesn't change your life, I want to know about it. I know it will. We need to talk to ourselves about God. In verses 6 through 19, I was going to read those verses, but we won't to save time. But I encourage you to read those verses. He's talking to himself about the character of God displayed through his dealings with his people. He says in verse 8, the Lord is merciful. The Lord is merciful. We need to talk to ourselves about that. The Lord is gracious. The Lord is slow to anger. We'd be in a heap of trouble if he wasn't. The Lord is slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. We need to also talk to ourselves, remind ourselves, he will not always chide. Neither will he keep his anger forever. Don't push it. God's long-suffering. God's slow to anger. But don't be so foolish to push it. That's living dangerously. So we, again, we're not going to read those verses. I'm very tempted to, but we won't. And then he closes in verse 22. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So he begins the psalm and he ends the psalm. Bless the Lord, O my soul. What a wonderful way to begin a day. What a wonderful way to end a day. Bless the Lord, O my soul. When we get up in the morning, we ought to talk to God. We ought to talk to God throughout the day. We ought to talk to God at the end of the day. But also, we need sometimes to talk to ourselves about the right things. You know, I can sit down in my office and talk to myself about a lot of things. And a lot of them aren't good for me. A lot of them don't help me one iota. I can talk to myself about things that will cause me to get stuck and mired, entangled and detained in many bad places. Been there, done that. And you can get entangled in those places and continue to talk to yourself about the thing that got you there to begin with. And then after a while, you begin to wonder how in the world they get here and how in the world they get out. Well, you need to stop talking to yourself about what put you there. You need to change the tone of conversation. How many times when we talk to ourselves about the wrong things, somebody upsets us, and we talk to ourselves about that all day. Does it help you? No. It doesn't help you at all. But I'll tell you what it does do. It opens doors to that which is spiritually harmful, that which is spiritually damaging and destructive, that which is spiritually unhealthy. But you know what? I've never gotten sick spiritually talking about God. Talking to God or talking about God to myself. So sometimes when we begin to talk to ourselves about the wrong things, and we do, we can do it verbally, we can do it internally by thoughts. When we begin to do that, we need to say to ourselves, stop it. Stop talking to yourself about that. And begin to, we need to rebuke ourselves. Dan, stop it. Quit talking about that. And reverse the conversation. Start talking about God. You might want to, when you're talking to yourself about the wrong thing, just ask God to help you start thinking about the right thing. It'll change our lives. It'll change our relationships with other people. It'll make life so much more enjoyable. But talk to ourselves about the Lord. We ought to be in the habit of doing that. That doesn't replace talking to God. But there's certainly nothing wrong with talking to ourselves about God. And when you do so with intensity. Oh, my soul. Oh, my soul. That's the depths of our being. I'm glad that I have a God to talk to. There's a God in heaven, and I can talk to Him. I'm glad that I've, and you have too, had enough experiences with God that we can talk to ourselves about Him. We've read enough in His Word about Him that we can talk to ourselves about God. I'm telling you, a lot of people wouldn't have the struggles they have if they just talked to themselves about the right things. God help us. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse of song.